You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football at large for SportingNews.com. And on Locked On Fantasy Football, we've had a little twist this week. We had to not do our Thursday show, as we usually do. We just moved it to Friday and changed it to Lineup Friday for this week. And next week, with that Thanksgiving, the holiday, we won't have a Lineup Thursday. We'll try to do what we've done in the past and have the mashup Wednesday show where we kind of bring the lineup start sit calls right into the breakdown of all the games that we do on Matchup Wednesday. So programming note, your review of the show on iTunes with your Twitter handle, we're giving out one PFF Ed subscription per show per week on the network. So that's great, and you can win that and have a little bit more of an edge with your fantasy football decisions. And if you just like the NFL player grades that they give out, it's a fantastic resource and a good read. Everything they do there with Jeff and the crew at PFF. And here on Lineup Friday for 1 week here is our breakdown of the start-sit calls that you might have with week 11 and just looking at that. And we'll dive into a few of those key games regarding those players with Jeff Ratcliffe a little later in the show. But let's dive right in as we always start with quarterbacks to look at specifics. Alex Smith, there's no question about it. You want to have him in your lineup. He's right up there with the regular starts of the week. Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Carson Wentz, Russell Wilson, and still Dak Prescott. We're still keeping him in that group, but Alex Smith is definitely in the must-play category this week. They're playing the Giants. The Giants are falling apart, so you got to get him in all your lineups. DFS, it's worth paying up for him, and you definitely want to stack him with Travis Kelce, maybe even Tyreek Hill, some cases even Kareem Hunt. So Alex Smith, the value, you're going to have to pay up for him, but you look at the Giants' history against quarterbacks of late, it's pretty ugly, so you feel definitely good about that play. Now, Matt Ryan may not be as obvious. You look at, oh, he's at Seattle on Monday night. He hasn't played all that well, but the Seahawks pass defense is not the same now without Richard Sherman. They might not have Cam Chancellor in this game. That's going to open a lot of things in the middle of the field for Matt Ryan, and it should be quite a bit of a scoring affair there where Wilson is going to put up some points. It's going to be on Ryan to throw the ball. There's no Devonta Freeman. I think Tevin Coleman can be a factor in this game, but maybe more so as a receiver. So all those things with volume and the touchdown potential line up well for Matt Ryan for sure in this game. And I do like him a lot. I actually like the Falcons to win the game. I talked about that a little bit on Matchup Wednesday, but it could be a very nice upset for them. The playoffs are on the line. They've played very well against NFC opponents this year. Derek Carr, you got to feel good about him coming off the bye. You saw Brock Osweiler was able to do some things even against this Patriots defense. Yeah, they're not giving up a lot of points, but this game could be a little different. The Raiders do have multiple weapons here. So Michael Crabtree, Amari Cooper, Jared Cook, they can try to pick their poison, try to take one or two of these guys away. It's going to be very difficult with their defensive issues, though. So Carr looks good. They at least go for 300 yards, probably a couple scores in this one, I would expect. That's a low-end estimate as they go back and forth. And hopefully the altitude won't affect him too much, but Carr's a baller. He'll be ready for this. Tom Brady on the other side. Jared Goff, I'm still sticking with. I think there'll be other sources of production. I think it could be the tight. It might just come from the tight ends this week, or maybe more of Cooper Kupp in the slot, or maybe a short flip to Tavon Austin. He tends to get his in different ways. And I think Todd Gurley, it's not going to be easy for him to run again. So that's been a factor here in these past couple games. Well, Gurley can be a big factor in the passing game to help Goff. He also could slow down in the running game where that's going to help Goff throw a little bit more. The Vikings defense is tougher against the run than the pass. So at least with one side with Trey Waynes, Goff is going to have some opportunities to make plays away from Xavier Rhodes, whoever is away from that matchup. Jay Cutler, you can't ignore him in fantasy right now. He's on the radar. He's had multiple two-touchdown games. Well, he had one with three a couple weeks ago, but he's got his weapons fully back with Devontae Parker and Jarvis Landry, Julius Thomas, Kenny Stills, full complement there. So the production is high potential there. And I think I like him better than some streamers. And also Eli Manning there. These two guys are definitely in play. I know what you might think of them as reality quarterbacks, but $6,500 on FanDuel for Eli Manning. Jay Cutler is a pretty good bargain as well. That these guys, the garbage points are going to be there. With the Dolphins, I think it's more in a winning game against the Buccaneers. With Eli, he's got the weapons. The Chiefs are a bad pass defense. It's a good formula coming from behind to get a lot of garbage points. And Chiefs don't really put a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and they don't really turn over the ball too much in that sense. So Eli's going to get the ball quickly. Sterling Shepard and Mark Ingram, they're intermediate targets that have been big for him. So Eli continues here with another two TD game at the minimum here against the Chiefs. And with the streamers now, Blake Bortles, a lot of people are on Blake Bortles, and I'm just a little cautious with this. I think because in FanDuel you're going to pay up for him, and in standard leagues I can see the reason to play him. I think he could get a couple touchdowns for you. Do I love it for Marquise Lee? Not necessarily, because we'll get into that. But Jason McCourty, this Browns team is pretty good at shutting down number one type receivers. So Bortles is going to have to get his production from elsewhere. Maybe it's Mercedes Lewis. Maybe it's Dede Westbrook. But you look at Blake Bortles. There, it is a good matchup, but I just wouldn't go too crazy on it. Again, I like Cutler and Manning better. If you're digging a little deeper, you can go Joe Flacco against the Packers. The Packers secondary is a mess. Flacco has got all his receivers healthy. So if you're a little bit risky and you want to go really cheap with that position to really load up, a Flacco-Macklin situation could be good for you this week. On the sit side for quarterbacks, I don't really like Matthew Stafford. Playing outdoors against the Bears in Soldier Field can be a difficult matchup. The Bears defense is tricky. They do just enough things to limit your offense, and they've been more vulnerable on the ground for sure than in the air. So Stafford, just not a fan of him too much to have a big game. It'd be an okay game, but standards are so raised now at quarterback that a good game, when you're making these decisions, you should be going for the 20-point game for sure. The 17 to 18-point game is a little bit disappointment here. Phillip Rivers looks like he's going to suit up against the Bills. He went full practice. He's going to be cleared from the concussion protocol most likely, so that's good news. But I think this matchup is going to be a lot of Melvin Gordon, a little bit of Austin Eckler. You can really run on the Bills, so I would go away from Phillip Rivers. These corners are not bad. Tre'Davious White is a pretty good rookie there to contain what they can do downfield, so it's not the greatest matchup for the passing game, much better one for the running game for Los Angeles. Andy Dalton, you look at Denver's really kind of showed cracks in the pass defense, but you're not trusting Dalton in this environment. He's not Carson Wentz or Tom Brady. Keep moving on. Case Keenum, a lot of people are on him, chasing maybe what he did against the Redskins, looking at the potential shootout there. But I think Vikings can be very effective running the ball. They're a field goal team. I think Rams haven't actually given up a lot of field goals, but I expect the Vikings to grind it out a little bit in this one. And I can see Jerick McKinnon and Latavius Murray getting the touchdowns in this one. So I would go away from Keenum in this. I don't see it necessarily lighting it up like everyone says. I think you could still get a lot of points, but not necessarily from the quarterback here, especially on the Viking side. I think they'll do it more with run and ball control than the Rams will. On the Dolphins matchup, we've seen Cam Newton and Derek Carr do some things to this Dolphins secondary of late. I just don't trust Ryan Fitzpatrick enough to trot him out there to have a good enough game to please you for that value. And on FanDuel, $8,200, a lot of people are on Kirk Cousins this week because I still think we think the Saints are the Saints. And Kirk Cousins, last week the game was pretty ugly. He got two rushing scores, was able to get over 300 yards, but without those rushing scores, the game was not very good, and those are kind of fluky to me. Those are definitely not going to happen in New Orleans. So when you look overall with Kirk Cousins, 8,200, that's a lot to pay to get Cousins in there. I think this week, when you look at it, you want to go for one of those studs like Wentz or Brady, or you want to go down to the bargain basement like Cutler or Manning or even Flacco if you're willing. I don't think you're going to have much difference paying their 8,200 for Cousins there on FanDuel. As a reminder, make sure you're checking out Locked On NFL Draft. It's our great show here that's just breaking down the future stars in the league, whether it's Saquon Barkley or Josh Rosen or any rising defensive player like Minka Fitzpatrick, the defensive back from Alabama. They're breaking down all that, grinding it already, getting you ready for what's going to come in April 2018. So check out that show. They do a great job, and one of my favorite shows on the Locked On Network. The NFL shows are just fantastic. So if you want to get your beat report or you're into the NFL draft, all our other shows are fantastic listening for that. Now we go to running backs, and you look at the guys, the obvious guys have already gone there for sure. You look at Kenyon Drake. I like him at home against the Buccaneers. He's had two solid games for the Dolphins, so he's rewarded them for trading J.H.I. has come through pretty well for Adam Gase here. So I think the fun could continue for sure for Drake. He can be involved in the passing game and be an effort. So good overall matchup for the Dolphins offense. C.J. Anderson, you look at him, he's actually run pretty well of late. He can feel the heat with Devontae Booker and Jamaal Charles behind him, so he's trying to run as well as he can. The Bengals have been pretty good against the run, but they're not perfect, and Anderson can also get into the end zone in this one. So I think he goes for like 70 to 80 yards somewhere and a score, and that's pleasing for you as an RB2 this week. Ameer Abdullah, same thing. He's had RB2 finishes the past 2 weeks. He's scoring touchdowns, that's the key. He's getting the ball. He's got a defined role here. And I think they're going to have to use him a little bit more against the Bears. Bears have given up some long runs of late, so that also plays well into Abdullah's style. There, I think he could break one. Maybe this is the first time in a long time he can get to 100 yards, but we'll have to see. But Abdullah at least has inspired more confidence despite the issues with fumbling he had last week there on Monday night. Marshawn Lynch, you look at him. Again, you're hoping for the touchdowns and 60 yards, but sometimes you'll take that in the year of questionable backfield production behind a few studs. So Lynch, you're going to keep in there. I think he's going to be a big part. The game flow is a little bit of a concern here if the Patriots go big, but I think the Raiders will be able to stay in it. Lynch may be punching one in. First time he's faced them since the Super Bowl, and he didn't get the ball at the one. I think he'll get the ball at the one at least once here. Buck Allen, we'll see about Danny Woodhead returning, but it doesn't look too good yet. So I look at Allen. He's been very productive in standard leagues. You have Terrence West coming back potentially, so that's clouding things a little bit here. Alex Collins also in the mix. But Allen, this is the type of guy that can really give the Packers linebackers fits here. So if Woodhead plays, I think you have to fade Allen, but if he doesn't, you like Allen a lot more. James White and Rex Burkhead, this combination, the passing game backs. You look at the Raiders, they give up a lot to receiving backs here, so both these guys should be pretty involved. White had to slide down a little bit with Burkhead taking a bigger role, but keep in mind that both these guys are trying to make up for the absence of Chris Hogan right now. So really, Burkhead is going in there for Hogan. White is still in his regular role. Both found the end zone in Denver, so keep that in mind, and I think they'll be involved in this one more so than the traditional running game against the Raiders. I mentioned the Vikings running game. I really like Jerick McKinnon this week, more so than Murray. I think Murray is usable because he's played well of late, but McKinnon is the style of runner and receiver that can be very effective against the Rams, and I really like him at that $6,400 price on FanDuel. We go to the sit side. Joe Mixon is pretty obvious. The thing about Mixon, they do use him in the passing game, and that helps if you can get dump offs against the Broncos defense, but you could also see Giovanni Bernard in that role. So it's really hard to trust Mixon getting enough touches as well in against a tough Denver run defense. The matchup looks very good for Doug Martin against the Dolphins, but when you look at this game, I just don't completely trust Doug Martin in any situation. He could be pulled for Jaquizz Rodgers at any time. At this point, the game flow might not be in the favor either, so with more Charles Sims getting work as well. So we're just not trusting Martin maybe any more this season, the way he's kind of fallen off. He's really had only the Patriots game and not much else. Adrian Peterson, you got to hope for the good matchups to play him. And every time it's even a tricky matchup like the Texans this week, you're not going there. Alfred Morris, I don't like him at all. Maybe no Tyron Smith again, but I don't think the game flow is going to keep Morris in the game. And it's not like Rod Smith wasn't effective in his few touches last week. So we'll see a little bit more maybe Rod Smith this week. Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson, I know these guys have come on since the past few weeks and the Browns have been making their offense all about them, but I just don't trust anything against the Jaguars defense at this point. They got better against the run as well with Marcell Dareus in the rotation. So I just don't see any upside to playing any Browns this week, even their running backs who have been getting theirs of late. Now, Jamal Williams, I don't love the matchup. I get it while you're going to play him. If you lost Aaron Jones, if you had Ty Montgomery, both these guys look like, well, we know Jones is not playing, but Montgomery looks like he's going to join Jones on the shelf here. I just be cautious here because you could have a very tough sledding against the Ravens defense that's better with Brandon Williams up there in the run defense, and Brandon Huntley might have to throw it and run himself. I don't see high upside from the Packers offense this week, and that's why Williams is just not intriguing to me unless you have to play him as a Jones or Montgomery owner. Samaje Perine, I don't like either. I love Chris Thompson in this game more in New Orleans. I think he fits the profile more. I think he'll see more touches with him, with Rob Kelly out. So Perine, go away from him if you just picked him up. Orleans Darkwa, I don't love. I'm playing him in a league with 5,900 on FanDuel. He's not the bargain you'd expect. I think you can go a little bit more pay up for running back this week. Darkwa is going to have a low ceiling there. So I think that's what you have to keep in mind when you go with Darkwa. Now, as we turn our attention to wide receivers and you know who to play, the obvious ones, there's a lot of good wide receiver plays this week. Now, lesser obvious, I think Sterling Shepard is starting to become a more every week option here as the trust factor goes up with no Odell Beckham and Brandon Marshall, but he's definitely a great play against that Chiefs secondary. They can move him away from Marcus Peters. The slot and number two spots have been really problems for the Chiefs defense, so I really like Shepard this week. Nelson Agholor has been kind of quiet of late, but Alshon Jeffrey is going to play through an ankle injury, but still banged up. Carson Wentz needs to get his favorite target going downfield again. The Eagles are very vulnerable to what Agholor can do, stretching field, especially working inside. So I really like Agholor to continue what he did from earlier in the season after the bye. You look at Amari Cooper here. I think Michael Crabtree is going to be the guy the Raiders see taken away here by the Patriots. So Cooper should see some things open on the other side against Malcolm Butler, maybe move him around a little bit. So a lot like the Chiefs game. I don't know if he's going to explode like that, but definitely the opportunity will be there to make some plays. DeSean Jackson, you look at him. It's funny that we look at him being the big play threat, but he's had to be a little bit of an underneath route guy, a little bit for Ryan Fitzpatrick. There's some definitely help there with the Mike Evans and getting the attention. So you look at the secondary, Miami secondary struggles with types like Jackson. So I think it's a good spot for him to be a good yardage and catch play for you this week. Dontrell Inman, you look at him, he might get Nevin Lawson there in the favorable matchup away from Darius Slay. He is the number one targeted receiver now all of a sudden for the Bears and Mitchell Trubisky, and they're throwing with Mitchell Trubisky. So here we go with Inman. I think you can look at him as a wide receiver three this week. If you're a deeper league, Danny Amendola is in play for you for sure. They've had a lot of issues with slot receiver coverage. No Garen Conley, the first-round pick. out for the season. David Amerson has a foot injury. He's probably not going to play either. So things are going to open up very nicely for the Patriots wide receivers in this one. I think Amendola will see more snaps here than he usually does. Then this team going tight ends, heavy to take care of the Denver matchup. I mean, this Raiders matchup calls for more going to wide receivers. And Jeremy Maclin, I mentioned Flacco, 6,000 on FanDuel. Jeremy Maclin is a great, great value. I look at him versus Mike Wallace. If you're a little bit more adventurous and want to go GPP off the radar, Mike Wallace is someone you can look at because of the big playability, but Maclin has big playability, and he's a slot and a possession guy and a key target for Flacco. So I think he's just more consistently involved in the game plan, while Wallace could just have a long touchdown there. So I really like Jeremy Maclin this week against that Packers secondary. I do not like the Packers receivers against the Ravens secondary. Devontae Adams has been the real scorer and go-to guy of choice with Brett Hundley, so you could still play him. I think you just have to be prepared to be disappointed with both these guys against this Ravens secondary that's very good, and the pass rush is going to limit Hundley, especially with the running game not being as much of a threat. So keep that in mind. It's going to be tough. Marquise Lee, a lot of people are all in on Marquise Lee, but he's not, to me, a dominant number one receiver. And when you look on the other side, Jason McCourty, he's a very good cover corner for Cleveland, and I think people forget that. You can throw on a lot of things on the Browns, but number one receivers necessarily on the outside, especially ones that are like Lee, are not necessarily the guy. So I'm maybe in a little bit of an island on this one, but so is McCourty at this point. So I like Lee not to produce as much as you think, and other Jaguars you may not have heard of, maybe a little Dede Westbrook playing his first game, and Mercedes Lewis to do a little bit more. Marvin Jones, I don't really love him against the Bears. I think it's not a bad matchup, but I just don't like the upside of the Lions passing game in this one. And I think Golden Tate is the guy that's more consistent because of the extension of the running game with the short passes in the slot. Calvin Benjamin, I don't love at all. He's got to break in with Nathan Peterman on the road against Casey Hayward, a good secondary there. Nope. Josh Doctson, speaking of shutdown secondaries, Marshawn Lattimore, nope. Mohamed Sanu, I just don't see the Falcons going to him as much in this one. You can't throw on the Seahawks in the slot, but I think with no Richard Sherman there, they're going to have to worry about Julio Jones a lot more, and I think he gets targeted a lot. And Paul Richardson, I don't really like either. The Falcons secondary can be pretty good, and I think Baldwin, at least they can move in the slot away from Desmond Trufant. I don't think that can happen with Richardson. For $6,900 on FanDuel, I like to stay away from Robert Woods. I know it's tempting. He's reeling you in. It's like, oh, he's exploded the past 2 weeks. He's been an awesome fantasy wide receiver. Those matchups, though, were off the charts good against the Giants and Texans. This one is not as great, especially with Xavier Rhodes. You would hope that the Vikings would know this and put Rhodes more on him than Sammy Watkins. And Sammy Watkins, a limited target, one-trick guy, and Trey Waynes has actually played better turning around. So they should feel a lot more confident with Waynes maybe containing Watkins and Rhodes on the other side of the Woods. So remember, Rhodes does not allow touchdowns, and Robert Woods has scored 5 in the past couple weeks here. So I don't really like Woods for that price. I think you can go elsewhere. If you need him as a wide receiver 3 in a standard or deeper leagues there, I think he's definitely viable for you, but I just don't trust him completely with Rhodes' potential for a shutdown. Are you into playing fantasy NBA? Then we got the show for you, Locked On Fantasy Basketball. So as soon as football season wraps up, you'll have basketball as the only swing there, and you definitely have to check out that show. They do a great job for you, helping you with DFS issues every day there, and it's been an exciting season so far in the NBA, so make sure you check out that show. Get the advice and get the jump on your competition in the other booming fantasy football sport all season. And we'll go to the stretch run of this show and to close out the week, looking at the tight ends. You look at Cameron Brait here. I think he rebounds against the Dolphins. It's a good matchup there that you'll see underneath. So I don't really like Fitzpatrick, but I do like his targets overall to be productive here underneath because of Mike Evans and the field stretching ability. Tyler Kroft, you look at what Kroft can do. if there's going to be one guy that succeeds against the Broncos in the passing game, it would be Tyler Kroft. When you look at the Redskins and Vernon Davis, he produces every time Jordan Reed is out, and I think they'll continue in New Orleans there, so feel good about that. Jason Witten, the Eagles can give up things to tight ends, and if there's no Tyron Smith again, you're going to see a lot of underneath and dump-off type plays to Witten, and he was the leading receiver for the Cowboys last week, and the Eagles have been vulnerable to tight end. They gave a big game a few weeks ago to Reed and Davis, so keep that in mind. Jared Cook, I think Cook is going to be heavily involved against the Patriots as they maybe slow down Crabtree. Jared Cook is a big target there for Carr, so Cook and Carr are going to hook up well, and we've seen Cook go over 100 yards, treated like a wide receiver of late, so that's good news for him to keep being effective. C.J. Fedorowicz, if you're really stretching there and need some help against the Cardinals, he should get targeted a lot with no Will Fuller. A lot of underneath the routes to him and Bruce Ellington out of the slot. I mentioned Mercedes Lewis a few times. This was coming, 4,900 on FanDuel. This is a tournament play, though, folks. You just can't trust Lewis's involvement, but you know that he can't explode for touchdown games out of nowhere. It happened in London against the Ravens, so Browns certainly is a similar scenario here, and there's no Allen Hurns this week, and Westbrook, the rookie there from Oklahoma, is just playing for the first time, so Blake Bortles has to go with trusted guys. They should be able to wear down this Browns defense of late, so the blocking should be there for Lewis. He can slide off Leonard Fournette in the red zone and score here at least once. I think it's coming for Lewis. Now, I didn't really like Austin Hooper too much going in. Cam Chancellor still may not be playing there for the Seahawks, but not really trusting Hooper with the low targets anyway, and the Seahawks have been pretty good. They have cover linebackers as well with Bobby Wagner in there, so it's not like it's just Chancellor there. So Hooper, go away from this week. Kyle Rudolph, just can't trust him. The receivers are coming through too much for Case Keenum, and the Rams have really shut down the tight end. Eric Ebron, you look at him, again, I don't like the Lions passing him a lot. The Bears are actually pretty good against the tight end. Charles Clay, he's got Nathan Peterman starting, and I think it really hurts because he had great chemistry with Tyrod Taylor. I don't see the production there. And Hunter Henry, how can you trust him at this point? The Chargers are not looking at him enough. And the Chargers' offense has just pretty much become Gordon and Eckler and just nothing to look at here. Julius Thomas, he scored in a couple games in a row, $5,000. He's the one guy I would stay away from on the Dolphins this week. I think things are going to be too easy for Landry and Parker. They're not going to need Thomas as much, and they'll work on the film to see forcing the ball to him is not a good idea. When you look at defense and special teams, the Jaguars are definitely locked in. You got the Love Lions at the Bears, the Cardinals at the Texans with Tom Savage, and then the Saints at home versus the Redskins there. So you look at those matchups, you really do like for short. You look at the Broncos, I like them at home to rebound against the Bengals. Ravens at the Packers, they're playing Brett Hundley in a shorthanded offense, so I'd like them coming off a bye to be effective. Chargers, 4,300 on FanDuel, jump on that. Everybody go for it. Doesn't matter if they're going to be high-owned. It lets you do so many things with your lineup when you can go so cheap against a rookie quarterback. The reason they were so low before was Tyrod Taylor because they don't turn over the ball and all that. But Peterman, come on. This is a great shot for you. As far as the sits, I've been hinting at it. I don't really like the Seahawks at home against the Falcons. I think they're going to disappoint you if you're sitting there in the hole. It's primetime and all that. I think they'll be disappointing. The Rams have been very good, but the Vikings have been very good at protecting the ball. So going away from the Rams and the Vikings, for that matter, in this matchup that could get out of hand. Don't really like the Eagles too much. I think the Cowboys offense will play a little bit better, not be the mess against Atlanta. They'll be a little bit together if Smith doesn't play. And Eagles are a little bit more vulnerable in the pass defense and the back end than Atlanta was. So don't like that. And the Chiefs, I just don't like this. It's a bit of a trap. The Chiefs don't make enough plays for me to want that. Same thing with the Bengals in the Broncos matchup. I get it, the Broncos offense is not doing much, but the Bengals defense doesn't make any plays, and I'm not trusting that unit. So there you have it. There's a wrap of Lineup Friday for 1 week here. And wrapping up the entire week of fantasy football, thanks again. Make sure you're checking out our show on our new platform there on Panoply and subscribing on iTunes And make sure you're checking out all the great shows on the Locked On Network. It's a great network to be a part of, and I hope you enjoy listening. Good luck in all your games in Week 11, and we'll talk to you Monday for Roundup Monday, breaking down all the games.